So the reason we want to just change up the meeting this morning is, you know, I know David Pawson. How many of you know David Pawson? He's a very well-known Bible teacher, old English Bible teacher. And David Pawson in his church for years, he actually would always preach first and then they would worship as a response to the message, because you can worship out of revelation. You worship out of that place. Obviously, we have worship first, but often it's good to actually put the word first. So then we respond out of that place. And I think it's appropriate this morning because we want God to have the last word. We don't want us to have the last word. We want to exalt him because it's about the Lord. And I think it's appropriate that we end. I mean, it should always be like that, but I think it is appropriate this morning that we do that. So I want to start just actually with just a joke. All right, and then I'll dive in. And it's a story about little Bobby. And little Bobby was someone, a little boy, 10 years old, and he really desired a new red bicycle. It was his birthday coming up, and little Bobby he was desperate for this gleaming red bicycle that was in the shop that he walked past on his way to school. And so one day he came down, he knew it was his birthday coming up, and he said, "Mom, I really would like a red bicycle." The problem with little Bobby was that little Bobby was very naughty. So he had problems with his temper and his anger, and he was disobedient to his parents, didn't listen very well. So his mom looked at him and said, "Well, pray to the Lord." She didn't know what to say because she didn't have much money at that stage, and they were struggling financially. He said, "Well, pray to the Lord and ask him. Maybe the Lord will give you a bicycle." So he thought, like, that's a great idea. So he ran up to his room. And as he ran up to his room, just before, they were a Catholic family, and as he ran up the stairs to his bedroom, he ran past the statue of Mother Mary. And I'll get back to that now with Mother Mary. So he ran past the statue of Mother Mary, got into his room, and he started writing a letter. "Dear Lord, I have been a really good boy this last month, and I want to ask you for a red bicycle. Your dear friend, sincerely, Bobby, Robert, in fact, Robert Jr., and he gave his full surname. And then as he put the letter and put it down, he suddenly started to feel guilty that he thought about the Mother Mary statue, thought about church, thought about God, and he realized that he actually hadn't been a very good boy. And he thought, if he puts it down, he's going to be lying. So he thought, okay, I can't do that. So he crumpled the piece of paper up, and he wrote another letter. He said, "Dear Lord, I have tried to be a very good boy over the last few days. Lord, please, I would like a red bicycle for Christmas, and I will do my best to not sin at all for the next month. Your friend, Robert." Signed the letter. But then he went downstairs, carried on with his day, and saw the statue of Mother Mary, and he felt guilty again. Like, actually, he wouldn't not be sinning for the next month. He knew that he probably wouldn't even last a day. So he was starting to feel really discouraged. Like, I'm actually never going to get the bicycle because I know, A, I'm not good. B, I know that I probably will stay being naughty. He actually had a good theology because he knew he was a sinner. And so he decides, okay, I'm going to go and write another letter. But this time, he sees that statue again. And as he's walking up the stairs, he grabs the statue. And he runs, he hides it under his t-shirt because it was a little statue of Mother Mary. He runs and he hides it under his bed and he quickly starts to scribble another letter. "Dear God, I want that bicycle. I have your mother, Bobby." So don't we treat prayer like that, eh? We hold God to ransom. "God, I have your mother." So, when I grew up, I actually grew up in the Catholic Church, where in our home, we had a statue of Mother Mary. And my mom, on my parents' cabinet in their bedroom, they had it with a rosary around there, and we had pictures of the saints around the house. And I grew up in the Catholic Church. And in the Catholic Church, the leader of the local church that we were part of was called a priest. That was the name of someone. And unfortunately, it was a name given where that is not in the New Testament. And it was language borrowed from the Old Testament, borrowed from this idea of sacrifice and temples. And so the name priest, and so we used to have a priest that we grew up in the Catholic Church. His name was called Father Alberto. He was a little Italian guy, must have been about 80 years old. And, he was a lovely old man, actually. I think he loved the Lord in his own way. But so we grew up with priests, and we called, someone Father, even though he was dressed up like a mother. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to share something with you from the book of Malachi that deals with this language of priesthood, of priests. And I want to share a short story. I'm not going to share for too long this morning. I want to give the different Paul elders an opportunity just to say something as well, and the wives, just to, because it is our last service as we are going, as we're sending them out as the Paul congregation. Officially, we are just celebrating a bunch of guys going, and we'll do that later. But I want to share something that I feel is important for us, whether you are staying or whether those of you that are going to Paul, that we are sending you out. And it's a story in Malachi where God is speaking to the priests of Israel, and he's dealing with them on an issue where actually God was offended with them. And so this story that I want to share, in one sense, is a warning for us, and also, as you'll see just now, an encouragement for us. And so he writes, Malachi as the prophet, he writes on behalf of God to the priests, to the leaders of Israel, and he says, I've got something against you. In fact, God was offended with his people. God was not happy with his people. Even though that they were loved by God, they were the people of God, yet he had something against them. He was offended by them. And if you read the book of Malachi, you see that throughout the book, there's different phrases that God says where he quotes their objection that they had towards God, because many of them had a problem with the Lord. They said, but Lord, and they were going through famine, and they were going through difficulty and financial hardship, and they made. So I want us to read together Malachi 1, 6 to 10, and why was God offended with them? Now, what has this got to do with where we're going this morning? You'll see. But let's just read Malachi 1, 6 to 10, and Malachi chapter 1. And this is the Lord speaking through Malachi. It says, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts to you. O priests, you who, and he uses very strong language here, you who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? And there's a lot of these statements, but you say, where the Lord is pointing it back to them, where they have these objections. But God, why do you have something against us? Why are you displeased with us? I thought you were just happy with us all the time. And the Lord is to say, and he quotes the objection back to us, and they say, but how have we despised your name, Lord? You're giving an objection, but how? How have we done that? And then he tells us here, you've despised my name by offering polluted food upon my altar. But you say, how have we polluted you? By saying that the Lord's table may be despised. When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? When you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? So now entreat the favor of God that he may be gracious to us. With such a gift from your hand, will he show favor to any of you, says the Lord of hosts? Oh, that there might be one of you who has shut the doors, and that you might not kindle fire on my altar in vain. For I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, and I will not accept an offering from your hand. So this is quite a strong scripture. And what he's doing is God has taken exception at the leaders, at the priests, because they were giving worship to God that was second best. How were they doing that? Well, if you look in the Old Testament law, is that the Old Testament law mandated that if you had to bring your animal sacrifice onto the altar to the Lord that the priests would take, is they were only called to give their best. They were only called to give animals that were not blemished in any way. In other words, it had to be an animal that wasn't lame, it didn't have like three legs instead of four legs, or blind, or it couldn't produce, a male animal that couldn't produce or reproduce after itself. It couldn't be an animal that was scarred in some way or was damaged in some way. The animal had to be pure, and it had to be the best of the flock. And God said that when you offer a sacrifice of worship to me, it has to be an animal that is the best that you have, the best. And so what they were doing is they didn't want to give their best because they wanted to keep their best animals so that they could obviously breed with them. And if you're a farmer, you know that you always keep your prize bull so you can breed with your bull. And those animals are worth lots and lots of money. Well, they wanted to keep the best for themselves. But God said, actually, I want you to give the best to me in worship. And so what they would do is they were taking these shortcuts where they said, God doesn't really mind. We're going to give him like the worst of the flocks, of the sheep, of the goats. We're going to give him the worst. And God actually says this to them in the next verse, which was verse 11. He says, present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor, says the Lord of hosts? He's saying, what he's saying here, it's verse 10. Let's have a look at this. Verse 12. No, it's verse 8. Where is it? It's the one. Okay, here we go. I need your help, you see. I need you guys. Where are we? Oh, yeah, verse 8. There we go. All right, it says, present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor? In other words, it's saying, if you have to go to your human master or your boss, will you give like second best to your boss? How will your boss feel if you give him something sloppy or you give him something cheap or you're giving something that's not at the standard that he requires of you? How do you think he would feel? Your boss would not be pleased. And so he's addressing them. He's giving this accusation against them because what they were doing is they were almost giving their best to people, but they weren't giving their best to the Lord. They were giving what was convenient to the Lord. And he says, you know, and the challenge for us is this. I think one of the challenges for us as believers is that often we give greater devotion and greater respect to our human bosses than we do to the church. Isn't that true? We're so busy often building our own houses and families and businesses, and we tend to give the scraps over to God. And I know it's something I've been convicted of in the past many times, where I'll tend to focus in on the things that matter to me instead of the things that actually matter to the Lord. And friends, this is the accusation. He says, if you come to God like we come to our human bosses, dare we not give everything? Dare we not show devotion and honor in the way that God would want us? And so God was offended with them. So what he does is, and I want us to look at the next verse, is let's look at verse 11 then. Definitely verse 11. Okay. And now what he does is he's mentioned this and he's giving an accusation saying, and essentially they would never get it right. And in fact, if you were going to give an animal sacrifice, it was always never going to be completely pleasing to the Lord because an animal could never forgive the sins of a person. It was always a shadow or a type or pointing towards the greater reality that one day Jesus would come and he would come as the true sacrifice and he would be the one who would lay his life down for our sins. But look what he says here, and this is a phenomenal promise to us. He says, for from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great. And he doesn't say in Israel, he says the nations. And you see, God's heart wasn't just for Israel. His heart was that it was for the gospel would go into all the world, into the nations. And in every place, he says, incense would be offered to my name. Now, what does that mean? Now, what it means, it's a picture of prayer, where the Bible says that incense is like prayer offered up to me. It's prayer. And so it's saying that around the world, I'm going to call out a people who know how to pray. And he carries on. And a pure offering, for my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. And he says that, so in the nations, there will be incense and a pure offering. And you see, friends, what they were doing is they were not offering up a pure offering. They were offering up a blemished offering. They were giving him second best. But he says, one day, I am going to raise up a people that are going to know how to worship me, that are going to know how to pray to me. They are going to know how to give an offering that will be pleasing to my name. And this will not just be from Israel, this is going to be from the four corners of the earth. And you know the wonderful promise is that we are fulfillment of that promise today, you and I, is that we are here today. If you are in Jesus, it means that you are that fulfillment of that promise spoken over 2,000 years ago by Malachi, saying that God is raising up a people that love him. And the offering that they give to him in Jesus will be a pure offering, something that will please him and give him honor and give him glory. And I love this scripture in the New Testament. So, because obviously, look what the New Testament says, 1 Peter 2 verse 5. Everyone with me so far? Okay, good. 1 Peter 2 verse 5, it says, "You yourselves are like living stones being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And so he uses two pictures here. He says, actually, you guys are like stones in the temple. You're the living stones that make up the temple now. The temple isn't a human building, isn't a physical building. It's a people belonging to God. But then what he does, he says, you're not only the stones, you're actually the priests as well in the temple. And how are you the priests? Well, you're the priests that offer up some kind of spiritual sacrifice or spiritual offering to the Lord. No longer are you going to offer up a physical sacrifice to God anymore. That's a spiritual offering. So, you know, if you have to go today and offer up a lamb or sheep as a sacrifice to the Lord in your back garden, I want to say probably the police would come, or the front guard. Maybe if you had to build a little altar and take that, you know, take that sacrifice, slit its neck, and the blood would run all over the altar. You know, how would the neighbors feel? Fruki! Call the police! Yeah? Because I don't know what's going on. Is that devil worship? What are they doing over there? Marty! You know? Whatever, you know? It's like, we don't do those things anymore, right? Because we'd break all the municipal bylaws, and we would be trouble with the police. We don't do that stuff anymore. You need to. But we offer up spiritual sacrifices because Jesus became the Lamb of God. His blood was spilled for us. So what kind of spiritual sacrifices do we offer to the Lord? And I'm going to land this now and speak about Paul just briefly. I don't want to speak too much about Paul because we've spoken about Paul. But we offer, and I'm not going to go into it, but it's something that would be worthwhile you looking at again. Hebrews 13, 15 says, we offer to God the sacrifice of the fruit of our lips, giving praise to his name. One of the ways that we offer spiritual sacrifice is by our praise and our worship, by actually the words we speak, that when you speak words to the glory of God, it's a sweet-smelling aroma lifted up to heaven, that God looks down and goes, ah, it's a sacrifice pleasing to my name. Another way that it's used in Philippians chapter 4, and Paul writes that he says that when you give money, that's the context, it's like an offering. You've given your gift to him. This was to Paul. They gave him a gift of money. And when you give financially, sacrificially, it is like a sweet-smelling aroma, an offering. It is a spiritual sacrifice when you give of your resources into the things of God. That's another way that we offer. So when we pass a little, you know, offering basket around, or you give your money by EFT, it's almost like when you give and you give faithfully to the Lord, it's almost like the Father's looking down from heaven going, ah, oh, there's on the altar, there's a sweet smelling aroma. And he goes, ah, oh, don't you just love that smell? Oh, that's a smell of sacrifice. Oh, yes, yes, as they're giving it to me. Who would have thought? So I want to end with this. Is that this? Friends, and this is very, very important for us, is that as we are just now at the beginning of worship, we're also going to give ourselves afresh to God. And as we celebrate the fact that we are sending out 40 adults and at least 20 children to be part of a church plant, I want to say it costs us, you know? It's costly. But we give God our best. Isn't that what a priest does? We give God our best. We don't give God the scraps. It's not like we say, right, who are the 40 most difficult people in the church? And maybe we should send them to Paul. Ruan and Ina can take care of them with the elders. Ruan's a good pastor. He can, you know, like David, he took all those that were, they were the outcasts. You know, David took, he took the scoundrels. He took the ones that no one else wanted. Maybe we should give those, you know? You might, if you're being sent, you're like, is that me? No, I don't want to qualify that. But we are giving our best. And friends, it is painful in one sense to give of that, because when we're doing, but I want to say, as we give unto the Lord, we're not giving God half-heartedly. We're not giving in half measures. As a congregation, as we send them, we're going to give in full measure. We're going to give the best. We're going to offer up a sacrifice that is pleasing to the Lord because we want to give our very lives to the gospel and for the sake of the kingdom of God. God is interested in a pure offering. And that's not just a palm plant. It's our very lives given over to the glory of God. God will accept nothing less. That God doesn't want half measure. You know, if you say, but God, I can give you Sunday morning and Wednesday night, and I can give you a tenth of my income there, please be happy now. I'm going to go on with the rest of my life. Then I want to say, rather, do not bother. Don't bother, because you'll make a mockery of his name. That's what the Jews were doing. They were being religious. What God is looking for, he's looking as we come to Jesus, through Jesus, we give him everything. That our heart position is to say, God, you can take it all. That includes 40 of my best friends that are going to Paul. That includes friends that many of you have been walking with for a long time because my life is not my own. I'm giving it as an offering to the Lord. And so that is what I want to land today with, the sense that in your heart, would you celebrate with us before God and say, God, we're going to give joyfully. And I want to now give an opportunity for the elders and wives that are going to Paul just to share, they just wanted to, you know, say their final partings, their words. It's not like we won't see them again, and we actually are, I'm sure, going to see them around quite a bit. But, I mean, this, in 2 weeks' time when we get together, if you're part of the Wellington congregation, things are going to look different. And that's wonderful. That's part of the journey. But so what I want to do is then just as they want to feel led, they can... they can come up, and we'll start with Fritz and Nelly, and yeah, and let them share. Then we'll take it from there. Yeah, I think they can all come up. So Sean and Zana, and yeah, Cassie and Marty. That's it, the three of them. And I know Ruan just wanted to say something after them. So
thank you, Mike. That was a wonderful message. And I'm so privileged to feel that we're some of the best. Yeah, look, I think it's a privilege to stand here this morning, and we've obviously dealt with this thing in our heart to a large extent. So this morning, I want to bring a bit of an unemotional message, in the sense that, firstly, I think this being together, this thanks. I'll pass it on if I've not used it. So this being together, we've got to see it spiritually. We've got to see it in faith. This is God's church, and we've got to keep that thing. Just not see Mike or Mo or see us or see people. He is our saints, and this is God's church, and he loves it. And we've got to fight for the faith to keep seeing it that way. The moment we stop seeing it that way, we're going to start seeing people. You're going to see the faults. You're going to see the cracks. And that's not what God has made us. He's together. And this is a community of grace. So that's the first thing. And then I want to acknowledge that the input that we've had in our from you guys over 12 or 13 years. It's been 14 years, Nelly helps me. So it's just been phenomenal. And I think the thing that ultimately in 10 or 20 or 30 in eternity, the things are going to fade. The emotions are going to fade. The things that are going to stand is how good were we of stewards of that which was imparted in our lives. So I would require you guys, and I would ask you guys to keep praying for us, because we're going to give an account of that which was input in our lives through this congregation. And we'll pray for you guys, because you're also going to do the same. We've imparted, and all of us have imparted in this church, and this we're handing over the baton in some sense. So you're also going to give an account, and we've got to see this thing spiritually as something that we've got to carry this thing with value. And we're going to need your prayers, and we'll be praying for you. And maybe may we celebrate and look out for one another as we take this thing forward to the next generation. Amen.
Keep your tissues for yourself. Get genoeg. I think I don't have much more tears to cry. I've been crying quite a bit. I'm so grateful, really. It's the prevailing thought is just, I'm so grateful to the Lord that I've been part of you and some of you for a long time. And Julle is my hartsmense. So I just want to say, if you think about us, that you will remember that the Lord is faithful. He's faithful to his word. He's faithful to his promises. And run your race with joy. Run your race with joy. And I'm just thank you for loving us and just loving us. Bless you guys.
Can you skip? Okay. Sorry, if you're like me and get emotional, I just don't want emotion to steal from my goodbye, so I'm looking at my phone. I basically came here like an 18-year-old, a freshly saved 1 year, for 1 year, to TMT, and stayed here for 13 years. As part of this congregation. And I can remember my first worship time so vividly. It was so strange. I can remember some strange things happened, which I won't go into detail about. But my head, my brain was telling me, I've definitely signed myself into a cult here. This is what my brain said to me as I was standing in worship. But the rest of me, my spirit, my soul, even my body, was saying, this is home. I felt like I just fit. And what I want to say is this place, many people look at Wellington and they think, why a Bible school there? Why a church? It's so tiny, it's so small, nothing happens there. And I was reminded yesterday, we had a conversation, we had some fellowship with some students about looking at things in the spiritual. And I want to tell you that Wellington is not a small town in the spirit. It is a metropolis. It's like, the gifts get celebrated here. It's just, ach, nee, man. Sean says, don't make eye contact. as a student here, I see this place as where I grew up, really. This church, this congregation. I grew up in Oom Frans and Tannie Mersha's house. Ruan and Ina, I remember Soli, like, literally in the houses, washing dishes, eating with them. And that's where you learn the most about God. Like, it's beautiful, and I will forever treasure it. I remember when I decided to go overseas in 2013, and this is something that I felt to share this morning, is I first went to one very young leader, which I will not name, and I told him of my idea, and he said, just don't expect us to keep your position here. Just don't. I felt really bad after that meeting, and then after that, I had a meeting with Ruan, and I remember him saying, he looked at me, and he said, your home will be here when you get back, and I think that's just so profound, and I think there are two things I want to leave with you guys. Is please join this place as a family and not a system, because this isn't a place where you just, you don't become part to just do stuff or just to come on Sundays. It's really a family. And I will forever see Wellington as my childhood home. You always go visit your parents over Christmas and birthdays and public holidays and vacation times and Easter, and I'm thinking of all the times I'll be visiting you guys. But this will forever be my childhood home, and guys, this place is magical. Like, magical. And it's very hard for myself to leave. This congregation is so special. And if you're staying and you're feeling like you're getting the second prize, you are not. You are not. This place is so special. So, yeah. Thank you.
I'll be quick. The Lord, last Sunday, the Lord gave me a picture of my heart that has been rooted, yeah, with like roots growing around the heart, and that's my heart has been rooted here for years, and it has grown here, and it has borne fruit. And I've been here when we've planted congregations. I've been here when we've sent churches to be planted in Taiwan. I've been here when we've sent the best of our leaders, best of our friends, Kala, Naku, Leonard, Rian, Helen. I think the list goes on and on and on about the amount of people that have been sent, and we were the ones that remained. And we were the ones who remained planted and rooted here. And we were the ones where the growth and the fruit came from so that these people could be sent. And your identity as a congregation, Wellington, will stay the same. And that is, you will be a breeding place, a greenhouse for leaders to be sent all over the world to share the gospel and to grow the Lord's kingdom. And just a couple of personal stories that I felt just, you know, I also came in straight after school, and I was here, I walked the streets when Stephen and Chanel were saved, and I was there when Andy, and I prayed with you, we went into your home, and we prayed with you, and you guys came into the church, and I've seen Richard transform into the man that he is today. And the reason I'm standing here today is because of the prayers of Auntie Bev. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't that. There's so many stories. I was here. I was rooted and I was grounded with you. And I want to encourage you, stay rooted and grounded in the Lord in this place, and you will see many great things. And you will send people again, and this will happen again. And I want to encourage you, this is a good thing. And this is from the Lord. And this is a joyful thing. It's a very sad thing, but it's joy in my heart. As and I want to say that I love you guys. And I've loved you from the bottom of my heart. And to uproot my heart from this place is a very difficult thing. And, you know, in a sense, I can just become numb to it and move on, but I want to experience the full sadness of it, and I want to fully plant my heart in Paul when we go. So, yeah, I love you guys. We love you, and thank you for every moment. Thank you for every prayer. Thank you for every Sunday. Thank you for every fellowship time together. We love you. We love you. We love you, and we will miss you guys.
I think to have some strategy for managing the emotions, I won't hide behind the phone, but I'll try and hide behind some scripture. So, Cassie, if you can put up a scripture for us from Ecclesiastes, it will help me halfway there. Okay, Ecclesiastes 7 verse 8 says the following: "Better is the end of a thing than its beginning. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the heart of fools. Say not, why were the former days better than these? For it is not from wisdom that you ask this. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, an advantage to those who see the sun." And so the first thing that I just want to say is that I really believe that there's a godly end that we're experiencing this morning, and it's a good thing. It's better than the beginning. Martin and I arrived here 20 years ago, nearly to the day, just before we got married, and we came in, obviously, just, I was still a student, so we came in young, by the Lord's grace, we are leaving young still. So, but the bottom line is there's a circle that's complete. There's I'm not going into details. It'll take too long. But the point that Solomon is making here is it says, if we say the former days were better, it's not from wisdom. And then it says, and wisdom is good with an inheritance. And I just want to say, the wisdom for us in this very moment is to see inheritance, because this is what it's about. It's an enlarging of our territory. It's an enlarging. Everybody who goes and everybody who's giving is getting inheritance. That's somehow how it works in the kingdom. And if you can combine that inheritance with wisdom, the wisdom being, it wasn't better then. Those days, it felt like these days. You could also think back and think of good old days, but that's not the heart of the Father. The heart of the Father is to embrace today. That's wisdom. And if we can think in that wisdom and embracing of the inheritance, we'll do well. And that will be for every one of us. That's the first point. The second thing that I just want to pull two verses from, and this is the more difficult verses, will be in Acts 20. And Paul is speaking here, not that I think that I'm Paul, but I just want to quote something from Paul. And he's speaking to the Ephesian elders that he wouldn't see again. He says the following, and when they came to him, that's the elders, he said to them, you yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time. From the first day that I set foot in Asia. And then he goes on through his list, the various things that he went through. And then it says in verse 28 the following, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Now, first the disclaimer. I don't for a moment want to suggest that I or that we come in with a grace or the example of a Paul, but there is a way in which we have lived amongst you, and you will remember that, and you will remember whatever you remember. If you've been with us for a longer time, you'll remember faith and patience, I believe, and maybe you'll remember an example of sorts. And I just believe that there's a measure, not in the eldership capacity, but in a measure, we are responsible, every one of us, for the flock of God. And God has given us that responsibility to look out for one another. And I want you that if you remember any of us from Paul, whether it's Marty and I or any of the elders or any of the saints going, and you think, man, if they were here now, it would have been better. Or they would have filled this gap. I want to urge you, if you've got a thought like that, in that very moment, imitate and be that answer. The answer for us is to imitate the good in one another. The grace of the Lord is to cover their weaknesses and remember the good and imitate that. And if there was any faith or patience that you remember, any love or conduct, if there was any prayer or devotion, do something good in the Lord that you remember, in that moment that you remember, step into that thing and watch out for the flock of God. The maturity that the Lord is leading us to is a maturity in watching out for people. Jesus clearly has called us. He says, do you love me? Then feed my lambs. Look out for those who are poor, who are struggling, who are weak, and gather with them. I think all of us, if you think back, that is what we lived. We were not a church that was rich. God forbid that we are a church that is rich financially. I mean, I'm trusting that we will have everything that God wants to give us, and money is a good servant. But we've never been marked by the rich or the famous, but we've been marked by sacrifice. And we were fighting. We were fighting when we had very little.
we shared it and we gave and we went. And I want us to keep that thing. We fight for one another. We sacrifice. We keep on giving. We keep on going. We keep on trusting. We keep on loving. We keep on worshiping extravagantly. That's who we are. And by His grace, that's what we will be. We imitate the Lord. And when there are those who've got more amongst us, we will live the same without being on a pedestal. And if we are there, those of us who've got not much financially, the Bible is clear. You've got a rich inheritance in faith, and you'll live from that position. And by His grace, we will always be a church for all nations. That's who we are. I think that's enough.
I asked the Lord, I'm going to wing it. I'm not going to prepare a big speech, so I can't really speak. So I'm going to trust the Lord that what I'm going to say is going to make sense. So I did cry my cries, and I also been planted here and rooted deeply and have learned much. But I want to leave with you that there's something that I was encouraged with when I came, when Fritz and I, we came. We are different, and everybody's different. And the moment you start looking and saying, oh, I need to be like this one or that one, or I'm not like this or I'm not like that, the comparison thing will trip you up. This church is like a big tree with all birds of different feathers. And the beauty of this church is that we are from all walks of lives. We are coming from all kinds of generations and nations. And that is beautiful because that, I believe, is God's heart. So never, if you've been blessed with something, don't hide it. If you are in dire straits, don't hide it. Speak, and people are here because this is a family, as you've heard. And then the other thing is, when I was looking at my children, our children, sorry, I felt the first time.
What? I said thank goodness as well.
Yeah. I felt when the two older kids, they moved out of the house quickly, one year after another. And then we had this big table, and then we had the two that are still younger, and that we moved from a big family to a micro family, almost like it felt like, oh, if we moved from 6 to 4 now. And there was an adjustment. There was an adjustment that we looked around and said, we are clearly missing people around this table. And then we had to sort of say, yes, we miss it, but this is a new season, and we're going to enjoy this new season. And I want to say to you, although you are missing us, all of us that are going, there is a new season, and you will get the hang of it. And the times that you will be together with the bigger family, don't miss out on those bigger gatherings, because it's lovely to see each other, and it's lovely to embrace one another and say, hey, how are you doing? So an example, I felt that the Lord gave me many daughters in this church. And over the years, I've seen them grow, and I've seen them marry, and I've seen them getting babies, and we've seen them. And before the 412, Fritz and I, we went to visit Lunel and Peter, and they had a new home, and we had dinner at their new tables and new stuff. So it was so good. And that is part of our inheritance as well, that we have in one another's lives. So please, don't be sad. Don't despair. We are only in Paul. And that's not very far, is it?
A beautiful moment, eh? I think from our side, I just want to say thank you. I think a moment like this is big, and it will be felt, you know, next Sunday all the men will be gone. And but in the Sundays to come and in the times together to come will be felt. And I think I'll speak on the Paul side, just really want to say thank you that we can do this together and take hands in one way and give in some way together and see something that many people won't really be able to feel like this morning. There's going to be new faces in a year's time, new people, And they won't necessarily have been part of this story, but in some way they slipstream in it and they become part as the family grows. And what I just felt as I was praying over this moment, it felt to me like the Lord was saying He's singing a chorus. And if we can use what God does as a song, the chorus is the short kind of part that gets repeated every now and again in the song. And it takes the theme of the whole song together. And what's happening this morning is that we're standing and we're hearing the chorus and we're being reminded that it's all about Jesus. It's really all about His kingdom. And that prayer that Jesus prayed, not my will be done, but your will, Father. And it comes with a measure of sacrifice. It comes with a measure of pain, but with the looking forward to a joy that's set before us. And every now and again, we come back to that moment where we are reminded about why we do all of this. That we are priests. And so, not the high priest, but priests like the high priest that come and give so that many will benefit. And I heard this quote yesterday about a man called G.K. Chesterton. And he said, I do not say that we need priests that remind us that men will die. But I say that we need another kind of priest, a poet, to remind us that we are not dead yet. And that's what I felt, just we're going with a message of we are dying to live. We are not dead yet, and we will live that kind of life where it is unto the Lord a life for Him. And let's take hands, and let's take this valley. Let's take this valley and see the Lord be glorified. And something of what has been experienced here reproduced, because there are people outside of a home, outside of a family, a spiritual family, that when they come in, they will say, what cult is this? But, oh, I feel so at home here. But that people would feel that the longing that's been in their heart, that they would say, this is where, and find the Lord. So let's honor God. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Just by the way, we're not a cult, and as we mentioned a few times, you don't have to sign your name in blood, or you live under faith before God, but we do it together. We belong to one another, the Bible says. So what we're going to do just now is we're going to get all the Paul folk up front, and all the folk that are going with the kids, and we're going to pray for them and send them out just now. We're going to worship together. While we do, I want us just to read a scripture, and then just the worship team to come up, and that Romans 11 scripture, let's just read it together and see what it says. And just, it says this, and please just bear with, just concentrate, just bear on this closely, and we're going to land. It says, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The next verse. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, in view of all of that, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And so, as we come, we're going to worship God today to the high priest, the one that is, you know, He's forgiven our sins. While we come and give our best, I want to say we also give our worst. We give ourselves, God, this is who I am. I need you. And through this process, as we celebrate the pole guys going, as we plant them out, but we want to give ourselves, I want to urge you, where's the worship team? Could I ask? Friends, I want to urge you, for you this morning, would you come and say, Lord, here I am. I want to make myself available to you, to be used by you, however that. If I'm staying, I want to give myself into the purposes of God. I want to give myself into this family. I don't want to be a spectator. We do not need spectators. If you're going, go to give yourself, but let's give ourselves unto the Lord first and offer our lives to Him. And so let's just stand together. We're going to spend some time in worshiping Him, thanking Him, loving Him. I know there's been a lot shared that's been so powerful, and just even this testimonies, and let's just come and let's just settle our hearts before the Lord right now. Would you just turn your eyes to Jesus? Just turn your eyes to Him right now. Say, Lord, here I am. God, I want to come to You this morning to offer up my spiritual act of worship. I want to offer up my life to You in view of Your mercy, in view, Lord, that You are good, in view of, Lord, that You have bought me and saved me and set me apart for Your purposes. Lord, this morning we want to say, here we are, Lord. Here we are to worship. Here we are to give ourselves over to You. Here we are, Lord. We make ourselves available. We want to be in Your hand that You would do with us as You see fit. Lord, we surrender to You this morning. We surrender to You, God. Would You even just lift up your hands as a sign of just surrender to the Lord? Just lift it up to say, God, here I am. I surrender my life. I give myself over to You. Lord, we thank You for the past, but now, Lord, we want to be commissioned by the commanding officer of the Lord to go and to be used by You, Lord, to make disciples of all nations, to be used by You as You see fit, anywhere, anyhow, anytime, any place. Lord, here we are. God, we submit ourselves to You. We love You, Lord. Let's just respond in worship to God right now.